Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Brandon Dardot, the Southeast Regional President and CEO for MGM Resorts, on how Beauvivage Casino in Biloxi has just passed the million passenger mark for its charter airline service. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT with its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing it over three times versus house, according to Ireland's June report. Learn more at igt.com/prosperity. Regional casinos, particularly those owned by the major gaming companies, often need more to fill their rooms and increase their gaming revenues. MGM Resorts Beauvivage in Biloxi is one casino that has perfected the process. Just last week, the casino welcomed its 1 millionth customer in a program that started in 2008. Brandon Dardot, the regional president for Beauvivage, explains that a partnership with Sun Country Airlines in 2014 has allowed the program to blossom and has welcomed visitors from 90 cities as far away as Minneapolis and New Hampshire. He also comments on other marketing efforts and the recent sale of the Gold Strike Resort in Tunica to the Cherokees of Oklahoma. He spoke with me via Zoom from his offices in Biloxi in August. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Brandon Dardot, the president and general manager of the Beauvivage in Biloxi, Mississippi. Brandon, great to catch up with you here. One of my favorite properties down there for sure, and you had some great leaders there.
Yeah. I've been part of the Beau family since 2001, so you are correct. We've had a lot of great leaders come through. So
becoming president of the Beau must be almost a dream come true for you, since you've been with the property for more than 20 years. Give us a path you took to reach that level.
Yeah, so I grew up originally in Louisiana, and after finishing college, wanted to get in the business. So had only been to Biloxi once or twice, but had visited Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And so loaded up a car, moved out there, and really broke into the business. And just happened to land at MGM Grand as my first job. And then after a couple of years of being in Las Vegas and, maxing out every credit card I had, I said, time to go south and get a little closer to home. And just happened to be, Beauvivage was part of that organization, part of MGM. And sure. So was able to transfer and really began with I went from probably having a job to more of a career at the Beau. And really saw that, hey, there was a future in this for me. And I was just amazed by the industry and amazed by the property and the people. So I love the Gulf Coast. And so really, a lot of hard work, obviously, through the years.
Sure.
A lot of great leadership, learned a lot throughout the years. But yeah, it's been a fun journey and definitely a dream come true to lead this property where I kind of cut my teeth and moved up into management.
So I understand you had positions in many of the departments. So do you think that makes you a better leader in terms of knowing what these people are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. What I think was what's unique about our business is, we have many leaders that, it doesn't take a college degree to be successful in this business and in so many other ones, right?
Sure.
Other industries, you can't even get a shot without it. And look, I happen to have a degree, a background in marketing, but look, I started as an on-call center rep in Las Vegas and got really into the slot department. Scott Krieger, who's obviously done very well for himself, was entry level manager at the time and said, hey, future of the business is slots and you should check it out. So I took that word of advice and got involved in it and ultimately came back to Beauvivage and worked in slot operations and, had a marketing background and, always enjoyed speaking to customers. And so kind of got involved in the casino marketing and the hosting world. And then just continued to learn. It seems like every couple of years I was given, a stretch role or an opportunity to learn something new. And, I was always the first one to raise my hand and say, yeah, I'll be glad to take some new endeavor on.
So. Sure. Absolutely. So we just celebrated the 30th anniversary of gaming in Mississippi. Even though Bo wasn't there from the very start, the land it sits on was one of the first casino properties, the Biloxi Belle. But the Bo has played a huge role in transitioning the industry from small riverboats to glamorous, you know, high-scale gaming complexes. So how is the Bo trying to preserve its space at the top of the market in Biloxi?
Yeah, so, you know, and you kind of mentioned it, right? When the Gulf Coast first, in Louisiana for that fact,
right.
Or that matter as well, kind of, you know, it was a regional, local type. You know, you had people come from Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, maybe a little bit from the Panhandle of Florida, onto the Gulf Coast. And again, you know, up in the northern market, you know, you had Tunica, which was actually a much larger market,
right.
Back in those late 90s, than the Gulf Coast. And so I think where Beau Rivage specifically kind of came in and tried to change that into more of a destination market, right? Steve Wynn built the property. Sure. It's 1,790 hotel rooms, which, you know, if it was built today, probably wouldn't be built as large.
Yeah.
But it did kind of give us the tools to create the national market that the Gulf Coast has become, and specifically around Beau Rivage. I mean, 70% of our business comes from more than 300 miles away, which, you know,
sure.
We say that a lot of people are surprised by that.
Yeah.
But the Gulf Coast really has become a destination type market. You know, people are making decisions to go, you know, to Atlantis or to the Bahamas,
right.
To Las Vegas, and, you know, and some of those choices they're choosing to come to Biloxi. So it really has introduced the Gulf Coast to, you know, to more of a national base of customers.
Sure. And the amenities you offer your customers are pretty impressive as well. Yeah, I mean, you've got a golf course, you've got a great spa, you've got the Shuckers Stadium right across the street. I mean, there's a lot for people to do, even if they don't gamble.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Obviously, you know, most of our focus is gaming. You know, but we are a full service resort, right? Many of our customers
sure.
game, but obviously you want to enjoy all the others. And, you know, people stay 3 or 4 nights is pretty common. We are lucky enough to have Fallen Oak, which is a golfer myself. So, you know, is a world-class golf course, sister kind of course of Shadow Creek, and really, you know, in similar type of level of a course as that. And again, people are surprised when they come to South Mississippi to have access to that level of golf course, as well as some of the other,
sure.
It's really a great
right.
golf community. But yeah, absolutely. You know, spas, the pools, I mean, just the view, look, love Las Vegas, visit often. But when you look out and you look at it, that Mississippi Sound, and
that's
you see
right.
dolphins
yeah.
and shrimp boats going by, sailboats, it's a different type feel. And again, it doesn't make it better or worse, it just makes it unique.
Yeah, I mean, I've stayed in a couple of those suites at the top of the Bow, and beautiful view out there with all the boats going by, and then the islands, the barrier islands further out. It's just a great
yeah.
Place to stay.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
So more than a decade ago, the Bow began a charter plane program, and you're close to bringing in the millionth customer over that period. Explain how that program got started and why it's been working so well for so long.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go really to the really early days when you know, you remember in 99 or 2000,
right.
when the Bow first opened. Again, you know, the property is a large hotel, 1,790 rooms. And, you know, there's just not enough people in the market or even in the drive-in feeder markets to fill the entire facility, as well as all the other competitors in
sure.
the market. So at those times, a couple of properties, it was Grand Casino and Beau Rivage at mm-hmm. the time, partnered with a provider called AirTran
right.
that was flying, you know, it was commercial air service, but it was really flying in, you know, subsidized by the casinos,
sure, right.
by those two. And ultimately that, you know, Southwest bought AirTran and that ultimately went away. And so a gentleman by the name of Ryan Ross, who's actually up at Borgata with Travis now, is the Senior Vice President of Marketing,
uh-huh.
Actually brought the program into the company. He had done it in his previous work and really introduced that, you know, I would say in the probably 2008-ish range, really introduced, you know, our company to that individual
sure.
Program. And so, yeah, so it's kind of grown in time and obviously evolved, and we've learned a lot and got better and better and better over the years. But, you know, today it represents, I mean, we are 500 or so of the hotel rooms in our facilities filled by that charter program every day. It flies to 85 cities. Customers stay 3 or 4 nights, and again, it really just introduces the Gulf Coast to people from Boston and New York and
sure.
Detroit, and really, if there's a city in the central and eastern time zone,
mm-hmm.
that is large enough to has an airport large enough to land a 737, we fly there. And you know, again, we've evolved it over the years, but very big part of what we do.
Are there cities that bring more players there? Say Atlanta. I know Atlanta's always been a big market for the coast.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Atlanta is one of the few places we actually don't fly,
really?
Because there is direct service into it.
Right.
And, you know, obviously it's the busiest airport in the world, mm-hmm. so you know, trying to get time slots in Atlanta can be very difficult.
Tough.
It's still a great market for us. We do have 6 direct flights in and out of that market every day, from a commercial standpoint. Mm-hmm. So we're covered there. But yeah, our most successful cities are in South Florida, St. Pete, Tampa area, very successful. But you know, we have properties in you know, Detroit, Michigan. We have MGM Detroit there, right. So it might surprise you, but Detroit is one of our top markets as well. So we fly there often and a lot. Same thing with DC and even the Northeast now, with Borgata being part of the MGM family.
Right.
You know, we're doing a lot of Philly flights, and a lot of South Floridas, but Texas is a great market for us as well.
Yeah. So do you use exclusively the MGM Rewards database there, or do you go beyond that?
The majority of it is MGM Rewards database. I mean, it's a great part about being a part of a large organization or a large company with, you know, a lot of premium customers in the database.
Sure.
But we do have, you know, we advertise on social media. We do have a small portion, you know, less than 10% of our population paying full package rates that, you know, quite frankly, don't even have a card. So it is more than just MGM Rewards.
Right.
But obviously, we rely on that as our backbone for the
program.
Okay,
great. Cat's out of the bag. IGT's newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, is a hit and performing at over triple versus House, according to Eilers' June report. Both partner themes feature the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at IGT.com/prosperity. So you most recently, before the bow, you were a GM at the Gold Strike in Tunica. You know, very, very strange market. I mean, as you said, early days, it was a huge market, and it's kind of dwindled down now. And MGM just recently sold the Gold Strike to the Oklahoma Cherokees. What led to that decision, and how is it going to be pulled off when it finally closes?
Yeah, so I spent, like I said, I started at Bow in 01, and you know, recently got in this role earlier this year. But I had spent a 4-year stint in Tunica as a VP of marketing, and then you know, right before COVID hit, as the general manager up there, and you know, kind of through that time, those COVID times, which obviously were very difficult. But Gold Strike has been a very interesting part, I think, of our company and part of my, you know, personal journey as well. I've learned a lot there. And it is a market, like you said, right? It was $1.5 billion. Now it's down to, you know, a $600 million market.
Right.
Or thereabouts. And yet our property went from, you know, one of the lower ranking properties in mm-hmm. Tunica when we acquired it back in 05
right.
to really now the market leader.
Yeah.
And so I think it symbolizes what our company can do. You know, we have the right capital reinvestment right capital investments. We reinvest in customers in the right way. And to see that property, even though that market is down, you know, by some huge percentage, I'll let you do the math on that.
Sure.
You know, our property's financial performance has grown exponentially. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, look, the company made the decision to sell that asset and focus on other things. You know, those are obviously publicly traded companies make decisions like that. But,
of course,
but still, it is a very, I think it was a very successful endeavor. And you know, a great group of people up there, and they'll continue to be the market leader, and they'll continue to grow. And,
sure. Sure. You know, I know a lot of the leaders out there in Tunica, and they always tell me how great the employees are up there. How did you break the news to the employees and you know, let them know that they were going to be okay, basically?
Yeah, look, you know, it is a smaller property. And
right.
so, you know, being able to do that face to face and explain the reasons why, and really, the, you know, the buyer of this particular, it will be their flagship property.
Right.
You know, Gold Strike is not the flagship property of MGM Resorts.
Sure.
When you have the likes of Bellagio's and Aria's, even within the state, when you have, you know, Beau Rivage. And so the property will now, and those leaders will get the opportunity to really be the flagship property of an organization. And so, you know, the leaders of that group have been on property a lot and have talked one-to-one with the leaders and honestly, even the mid-level management about what their plans are for the property. And so it's really been a positive experience so far. We expect it to close in Q1 of next year. Mm-hmm. But again, all in all, I think it's going to be a win-win for everybody, and particularly for the employees that's there. That property, it's been amazing, the changes that the property's undergone. Not just, you know, the capital investment that's gone in, but also just I think the focus of the employee and the service culture that property has really, really focused on over the years. We joke about it sometimes. We've had, a large group of leaders that have come through that property. Nick Ritterstrom, who is now the leader at Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, went through Tunica. Melanie Johnson, who's our president up at National Harbor. David Tsai, who's our president at MGM Detroit, mm-hmm. and obviously myself, and even Travis, right? Travis oversaw that property when I was a GM up there. So we worked on it together. So it really has been a staple of a lot of growth of our leaders throughout the company.
Great. Let's talk about sports betting in Mississippi. You know, it's been active for something like around 3 years now, but it's still limited to retail locations. Are you confident that mobile will be permitted within the next year or so?
Yeah, I don't know the timing of it, but obviously, we believe it's inevitable. Mississippi was one of the first states after Passport's approved. New Jersey kind of led the way.
Right.
And then Mississippi just days later passed retail sports betting. And we saw a huge impact in both the northern and the southern markets, both in the Tunica and the Gulf Coast market. And, now Louisiana has it. Tennessee has the mobile, the mobile legislative pass. So, time will tell when, but I do think it's just a matter of time. When it comes, it's a smaller piece of our business currently. We do think it will grow over time, but I think the timing on it, we'll just have to wait and see.
Sure. So, Mississippi is the heart of the SEC. How do you plan to capitalize on SEC football and in the NFL during the fall? Obviously, they were just about through the doldrums and ready to go.
Yeah, so, the first year of sports betting, I think we didn't know what to expect. Now we've kind of got a good understanding of what it is. Obviously we bring a lot of customers over that have visited prep for years over to New Orleans and even to some of the LSU games. But now it's more about the camaraderie. It's about, as great as mobile is, people still want to be in a room. And there's nothing like being in a sports book, as you know, I'm sure.
Right.
Being in a sports book the day of the game, it's very interesting to watch like an LSU-Alabama game when you got half the room is pulling for this team and half the room, and just the banter that goes back and forth. And it's all in fun, fun spirits. But at the end of the day, we really capitalize on having people within our building for that. And again, we have, people come from all over the country. So for somebody from, Michigan to come down and see the passion that LSU football, and I just use Michigan, it could be any, obviously they have very passionate fans there as well.
Sure.
Actually on my bucket list to go to the big house and watch Ohio State Michigan game. But the energy that's in the building when SEC football is in, it's really a neat thing to be a part of.
Great. So you transitioned from M Life to MGM Rewards a couple of years ago. It took a while to really ramp up, but how is that being accepted now by the customers?
Yeah, so M Life, and lucky I've been a part of that, kind of having a marketing background.
Right.
I'm part of the loyalty story of the company over the years. And we think this is a pretty big leap forward with MGM Rewards. We unlock a lot of the technology. Later, actually, in October, we're going to launch some added technology to give us a lot more resources. But at the end of the day, regional customers do enjoy and participate in loyalty programs. They find the value in them, and MGM Rewards is the most valuable rewarding program that exists inside the industry. So, MGM Rewards really introduced non-gaming customers, which obviously a little more Las Vegas centric when it comes to non-gaming focus on, you know, food and beverage and hotel and entertainment and all that non-gaming spend that we're now reinvesting in, and customers are getting value in that. So we'll continue to evolve it. Casino loyalty programs have been around for a long time. And so, you know, we've learned through the years and we'll continue to grow it. The biggest thing for us, I think, is just using and allowing customers to use their rewards across all of our different companies, right? Even from Borgata to where you sit, right? Borgata down to Biloxi, right. We're seeing larger and larger number of people that are traveling between one or the other. We're actually bringing a group up to Borgata from Borovaj to Borgata on our charter program. We actually kind of run it both ways now. Not only to Biloxi, but also up to Atlantic City. And we're going up here in about 30 days for a visit there and introducing a lot of customers to new brands. So that's really the evolution and the value that we'll have going forward.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, the coast is a pretty competitive market. You've got some great casinos there and companies that run them. But it's also some way you can get together when it comes to the large coastwide events like Cruise on the Coast and things of that nature. How do you work with other casinos in that respect and also the tourism division?
Yeah, I think, you know, over the years, you know, the coast has probably evolved a little bit more into, hey, you know, all boats rise with the rising water, however right. That saying goes. And I think you definitely have much more of that, the positioning as a market versus, you know, battling over individual customers that live in the same market.
Sure.
That's one of the things that's great about seeing the market grow to more of a, I won't call it pure national. In Borovaj, we are a national customer base. The other properties are a little bit more regionally focused.
Right.
But you do see growth to a city like Atlanta, mm-hmm. Where, you know, Atlanta has plenty of people. We don't have to fight over the individuals coming from Atlanta. So I think as you've seen the market expand and grow, you've seen much more cohesiveness with the market really rallying around certain events. You know, you mentioned Cruise on the Coast, and that was started, you know, 20 or so years ago. And now it's, you know, it's one of the largest organization groups. And it's a great time of year, right, in October to come down. It just takes over the entire area. And it is great for the whole coast. It's great for, you know, Borovaj. It's not one of our stronger weekends by any means because we are very gaming focused. But it is great for the market. And we do have people that want to come in and be part of that, really part of that offering. So I see a lot more co-working, I guess, when it comes to events like that than maybe you did 10 years ago.
So there's a couple of proposals for new casinos in Biloxi. Do you think the market can handle two new large casinos?
Everybody's got an opinion on it.
Right, and, I'm sure.
Look, if another Borovaj was to be built,
right.
I don't know that that's necessarily on the table. I mean, this would be, you know, multi-billions of dollars. You need something to grow the market and just adding more and more casinos. You know, you've seen it happen in Atlantic City where you get to a point where you have too many.
Right.
It's not necessarily a great thing. So I think getting that right balance and just ensuring that whatever new property does come about, bring something unique and new to the market, whether, you know, be a database or whether it be just a physical offering that others don't have. I think you can definitely see positives of adding. But again, I think it would all depend on, you know, who the operators are, what the background is, and really what's the physical plan going to look like. Is it going to attract a new customer?
Right. And expand the pie rather than cutting into smaller pieces.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, Brandon, thanks for joining us. It's great to catch up with you, and I got to get down there. It's been 3 or 4 years since I've been down there, and one of my favorite places in the country. So, thanks for joining us.
Great. Yeah, we're currently undergoing a complete room remodel. So
that's right.
It'll be great. It'll be great to have you down and make sure to look something. Maybe we'll go fishing.
Great. I'll talk to Mary, and we'll get that set up.
All right. Very good.
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks
nice to talk to you.
Enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT and its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing at over 3 times versus house according to the Eilers June report. Discover more at igt.com/prosperity. To learn more about casino marketing and unique programs that bring in casino players, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.